The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Good evening and welcome everybody to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Make sure you follow us. You can follow the show on Twitter at CHI Bears Promos. So make sure you do that. It's Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, not Zach Zaidman. I'll be filling in for Zach Zaidman this evening. We've got a great show in store for you tonight, as we're going to have Brock Vereen, fourth-round draft pick of the Chicago Bears, who's going to join us momentarily. Also, we've got to get into the Brandon Marshall contract. And, of course, what's it like for a rookie coming out of the rookie minicamp, as they are now starting to get, somewhat into the system of the Chicago Bears and what it's like to be a pro. But first and foremost, I think I speak for Tom Thayer and myself. We'd like to hope everybody out there and wish everybody out there a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. Please just take a moment this weekend, whether you had a cookout, a family event, and take a moment to thank the men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms we enjoy in this great country. So with that said, I'm going to welcome in my co-host, say hello to one Tom Thayer, and we're going to go out to the guest line and also say hello to Brock Vereen. But Tom, how are we doing tonight? And hope you're going to have a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. Good to be with you again.
You too, and everybody else. It's a great opportunity for us to be on a Saturday afternoon, because I'm sure there's a lot of people traveling in their cars going in every direction. Appreciate the listening audience, but like you mentioned, Memorial Day, that's the reason. Just remember all the people that, you know, have done so much for everybody in our lives, to have the opportunity to even sit here and talk on the phone about football.
Well said, Tom. Well, let's go out and enjoy a little football talk, as we are about to welcome in the fourth-round draft pick out of Minnesota. Let's say hello to Brock Vereen. Brock, you're on with Jim Miller, Tom Thayer. How's it going, bud? How is it going through the first rookie minicamp and now finding out that, or feeling that, you're actually a Chicago Bear? You there, Brock?
Hello, you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Brock. Brock,
okay.
This is Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. Let's welcome you in again, my friend. And one, congratulations on getting drafted by the Chicago Bears. It says a lot about your effort. Obviously, a dream fulfilled of yours to reach the National Football League. But here, hey, you're on the heels of your first rookie minicamp. How's it feel to be a pro nowadays?
Great, the feeling, honestly, is just now actually settling in, that I can actually call myself an NFL player.
Hey, Brock, in the terms of going from college to pro and the small snippet you had inside the meeting room, how is the concept, the terminology, the differences that you'll have to make within your game from an NFL or a college offense to an NFL offense?
I think the biggest thing is the details. Everything is so detailed down to the exact half yard, and that's definitely not something that you're used to in a college. Everything is so much more complex, and it's going to take a lot more time getting it in that playbook and watching film in order to perform the way you want to on the field.
Well, Brock, let me inform the listeners out there, if they don't know your pedigree. Your dad was drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, also played up in the Canadian Football League. Your brother, Shane, everybody knows him as a running back over there for the New England Patriots. I mean, just talk about the football background. Obviously, in your blood, it's always been in your DNA, and you've played a lot of it, my friend, at a lot of different positions to lead you where you are today.
Absolutely. I grew up just in an athletic household as far as sports goes. My mother was also a college tennis player. So, I knew that sports was going to be my route. And then I was fortunate enough to really live out that dream.
Hey, Brock, because of all your experiences, are you in awe of anything? Because when you go from the college facilities that you have, and they're top-notch, no doubt about it. But when you come into Hallis Hall and you see the history of the team, you see where they're at as an organization in terms of the weight room, the cafeteria, when you get your uniform handed to you. Is that, I mean, are you still in awe of those types of things because of your experiences in sports?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you hit the nail on the head there. You know, I mean, there may be 32 NFL franchises, but none with as much history as the Bears. And, you know, to just be welcomed into that locker room and team, I mean, it's really a dream come true.
Well, Brock, what was Jerry Kill doing up there at Minnesota? He had you playing corner, then he moves you to safety. Then in 1 year, you play both safety and corner. What was going on? It's a credit to you and your athleticism, but what do you feel most comfortable at?
You know, throughout the years there, I was just willing to move wherever they felt that I was able to help the team best for that season or that week. And I'm actually thankful because I would hope that playing multiple spots has actually helped my game. The Bears have me as a safety, and I'll play it to the best of my ability.
You know, I was also a fourth-round draft choice, and I always believe I should have been drafted higher. I'm sure you believe the same in yourself. But when you had a chance to stand around and have a conversation with the other rookies, you got to have great expectations in yourself in order to make it here in the first place. But what do you think your expectations for yourself, you know, throughout OTAs and the classroom end of it, and then, you know, the athletic field, the portion of it? Is it, you know, meet Joe DeCamillis and make sure you're included in the special teams, or is it really sinking your team, your teeth in this, you know, a role at the safety position?
You know, coming into OTAs and then into a training camp, I'm going to show up every single day and just work as hard as I possibly can, watch as much film as I can, do whatever's asked of me, and whatever the results of that process is, I'll be more than happy to fill it.
Well, when did it sink in? When Tony Medlin, I don't know, giving you the jersey to go out for your first practice, to put on your helmet, snapping it up? When did you finally did it hit you, like Tom's saying, where you didn't have to pinch yourself? You, whoa. This is it, man. Here's the first one, and hopefully one practice of many for Brock Vereen.
Yeah, you know, it really didn't hit me even through the rookie minicamps that we had. I think the first time it actually hit me was the first team meeting with the veterans there. And that's when, you know, when Coach Tressman was up there talking, when I finally sat back and said, I'm an NFL football player.
Hey, Brock, with all of your experiences in professional sports, did you ever follow the Bears? Did you pay attention to Midwestern teams being around the Big Ten? And is there any player that is a snippet of yourself in the NFL? Who like you in the NFL that maybe we would know is similar to your style, to your game and size?
You know, comparisons are always tricky, so I haven't really been able to nail one down yet, but if I ever think of one, I'll be sure to let you guys know. But my mother is from Decatur, Illinois, and so her whole side of the family are Bears fans. So there's definitely a little bit of Bears history that go along with my family history.
Joined right now by Bears fourth-round draft pick Brock Vereen out of Minnesota. And Brock, let me ask you this, because you mentioned obviously the pedigree with the family, good coach in Jerry Kill, and a nice job he's done with the program up there for the Minnesota Gophers. Maybe talk about the minicamp in terms of the pace, you know, and in terms of the volume of information, how you go from drill to drill. You're going from one meeting room to another meeting room, and certainly they're trying to overload you to see what you can keep up with. Maybe just talk about the pace from maybe Minnesota to where it was your first minicamp.
Yeah, you know, the pace at Minnesota was definitely fast. You know, we practiced fast, and everything was prompt and everything like that. But I think with the college team, when you're dealing with 120-some-odd guys, when you come to this NFL camp and there's far less people, when you practice fast, you feel more you feel more of it, I should say, because you're being watched with every step, every rep, every single thing that you do is being watched and documented. So I would say there's a sense a much bigger sense of pressure.
You know, Brock, you talk about playing fast and being able to practice fast, especially at the end of your career in Minnesota. How long do you think it would take you to get to the mental pace where you can still practice fast and not be thinking about it as much as you obviously have to be now because everything is so new? What is the process for that, do you believe?
Yeah, you know, only time will tell, but obviously the sooner that I can get to that mental state, the better. I mean, from the last day of rookie minicamp, I mean, there was a major difference from the first day. Obviously now going into OTAs mixed in with the veterans, that process will have to start over in a way, but I hope that by the end of it, I can be a lot more confident and things will start to slow down.
Well, Brock, as Tom knows, as a former Chicago Bear, and everybody uses cliches like we are creatures of habit, but we really are. You know, you got good habits. You try to acquire as many good habits as you can as a player to really get in a routine. Mm-hmm. And now here you are. You're being inundated with, oh, what are all the trainers' names? So here I just mentioned Tony Medlin and guys like Hyde, Carl Pekarski, and, you know, you're meeting the PR staff and everybody else, and plus trying to learn your playbook and get all your teammates' names down and places to go in the city of Chicago. How quickly can you get in your routine? Because the quicker you get in your routine, that's where you start to get locked and loaded as a player.
Right. You know, I'm definitely still in that process, but I think I'm nearing the end of it. You know, I have everybody's name down, finally, starting to make my way around the city. So, you know, the more non-football stuff that you can, you know, get pat down, the more time and mental capacity that you can spend just strictly focused on football.
Speaking of strictly focused on football, Brock, when you talk about breaking a defensive huddle and all of a sudden you see Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, Martellus Bennett, a guy like Matt Forte, Marquise Wilson, all these guys coming at you with the size, speed, and ability. Tell us a little bit about what's going through your mind, even from watching it from afar when you watch NFL football, from now to a chance to get into a backpedal when it's, you know, third and six, third and seven.
Yeah, you know, I would say it's an opportunity. You know, there are a few offenses out there who have the physical presence that this offense will. And, you know, to be able to practice against guys like that day in and day out, it feels great knowing that it's going to make me a better player.
Well, Brock, just a couple more questions. We'll let you roll, my friend, and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm sure all the Bears fans enjoy listening to you. In terms of schooling, do you have your degree? You don't have any more obligations where you can be at the Bears facility throughout the whole OTAs and obviously the next mini camp?
Yes, you know, I'm out here for the long haul, so.
Well, that's good. What'd you major in at Minnesota?
I majored in communications.
No, no wonder you come off so polished, my friend.
Thank you.
You got any more, Tom?
No, I'm happy to what I hear. You know, it's funny as every time all of us who have gone to the combine and been drafted, that we always have our articles about your strengths and your weaknesses and the bottom line. And it says for Brock, it says has tiny hands. If that's your only weakness, I tell you what, Brock, you have a long career here with the Chicago Bears. It's a position that everybody has great expectations for. And, you know, from one ex-Chicago Bear to a new Chicago Bear, I just wish you the best of luck in everything you're fighting for.
Thank you so much, guys. Really, really appreciate you having me on.
Well, Brock, we appreciate you coming on. So good luck to you, and we'll talk to you down the road, my friend. Brock Vereen. Brock Vereen, everybody. Fourth-round draft pick of the Chicago Bears out of Minnesota. I mentioned, Tom, obviously, I think Jerry Kill has done a tremendous job for Minnesota, for what that team, you know, in terms of talent and building up that program again. And he's brought along some pretty good players now. A lot of people are talking about Brock Vereen, who's obviously, you saw Rashid Hageman get drafted out of there. People forget another player who played multiple positions, quarterback and receiver, Marquise Gray. He's on the roster of the Cleveland Browns and is now a tight end in the National Football League. So recruiting athletes, players like Brock Vereen to play multiple positions, and it's actually going to benefit him as he's played both corner and safety in the National Football League for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and I think this whole draft class that the Bears have brought in, you know, there's some really great head coach pedigree there that they have tremendous growth in college. A guy like Brock Vereen, you're drafted in the fourth round, but you played multiple positions. Right there, that gives you an advantage in the NFL, because consider yourself a major player in the special teams game. But if you could come in here and be, you know, the both safety positions and then be a contributor as a nickel corner guy, that's exactly what the Bears are looking for, is taking this young talent, whether you're in the first round defensive back or a fourth round, and have it flourish for the future.
I don't know how the coach did it back in the day. Did you guys have a rookie minicamp when you were drafted, Tom?
No, we just went straight to minicamp.
Well, I thought it was interesting because there's only two teams in the National Football League that did not conduct a rookie minicamp. It was the New York Giants and the Cincinnati Bengals. The Giants, I understand, because they're going to play in the Hall of Fame game, so they get to report to training camp a little bit early. Do you think that's beneficial for the rookies to really get them acclimated to the National Football League, get the playbook, at least the base down, before they start getting caught up or out there with the veterans and getting caught up to speed?
You know, if you're not out there and you don't have even numbers to have an actual football experience, the rookie mini camp, I think, is a little bit overdone. I think if they would go to camp, be combined inside the locker room from day one, where the veterans and rookies all get together, because it's still a mini camp, it's still a learning session. If the veterans don't do as much as the young guys there, sometimes I go to rookie camps and there's just not enough bodies to really have a formulated plan of all aspects of 22-man football.
Well, how was it for you compared to, say, Brock Vereen, and just learning how to be a pro? Because we'll get to Brandon Marshall probably in our next segment about, hey, he speaks, you know, he calls a coach probably the best in the business when you talk about Mark Trestman. But for Mark Trestman and for Phil Embry to finally get their hands on these rookie draft picks and really send them the message what it truly means to be a pro in the National Football League.
You know, and Cliff Stein, getting all these guys signed, that was an incredible accomplishment that it really goes understated, because, you know, Jim, from day two of after the draft, every one of these guys are signed. Now they're a Chicago Bear. Now the academic side of it, they're being able to ingest. They become familiar with the whole facility. So nothing is that big of a deal, and it's just straight down how are you as competitors. So I do love the fact that they had everybody ready to go, organized and really being considered a member of the Chicago Bears as they go through the tryout process.
Well, what can you really evaluate in a rookie minicamp? For the offensive lineman, there's no pads on, or the D lineman, I should say. But I got to believe there is an evaluation process. Hey, is he in the right coverage, say, for a player like Brock Vereen? Is a David Fales, the quarterback the Bears drafted here in the 2014 draft, is he making the right reads to the receivers? I mean, talk about that, some of those evaluations, because it starts immediately for
right,
these rookies.
Right, you know, to be fair to all these guys, when you put everybody in a room, whether on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball, you're going to have everywhere from A to D students. A to C students. So not everybody's going to learn at the same pace. So I do think it gives you an opportunity to get an example of the way that they can mentally absorb something in meetings and then go out and reenact it or listen to it verbally being told to them and know exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it, making sure you're paying attention to the call, the play in the huddle, that's the snap count, and you remember it going to the line of scrimmage. It's all those little things, because, you know, mental errors, physical errors you can be coached through. Mental errors will get you cut. And I think anytime you're in no-pad football, the most strictest of evaluation is making sure that mentally you're exactly where you need to be 100% of the time, because you don't have the luxury of making one mistake a practice or two mistakes a practice, and that's such a huge part of the overall evaluation.
Well, that's a great point, Tom. We'll come back, we'll hit the first break, and then we'll come back the second segment. Touch on that a little bit more, because the ability to apply it from the classroom out on the field is critical in the National Football League. Hey, everybody, make sure you register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. So Tom and I will come back. We'll dive into more rookie minicamp, and how about a new deal for a big-time receiver in Brandon Marshall? Stick with us right here on Bears All Access. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Jim Miller and Tom Thayer with you. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter at CHI Bears Promos is where you can follow the show. And don't forget, as the program moves along, we've got our Ask Tom segment. You can call in 312-644-6767. Can somebody please stump Tom Thayer tonight? We got to make that happen. He has yet to be stumped when you talk about the master in Tom, but we've got plenty to get to. Got to get to the Brandon Marshall 3-year contract extension. But plus, I really wanted to further our discussion, what you just said about coming out of a rookie minicamp and how players need to learn and be able to apply from what they did from the classroom out on the field. And I think we all know, Tom, every player is different. Some guys learn through board work. Some guys learn through watching the film and seeing it maybe from a veteran, how he performs on a certain play. Some guys learn from reading the playbook and going through the pages at night, or nowadays it's on an iPad for crying out loud. But players learn in a lot of different ways, and it's really the coach's ability to tap into the best way to teach all these concepts to these players so that they know how to apply it.
Yeah, you know, first of all, you think of all the other things. They're walking in the Halas Hall the first time. Their nutrition habits are going to be completely different than any other time in their life, and that's a new facet they have to learn. And then they're going to walk into a weight room that's completely different than the weight scenario they've been around in all their years of service. And then they're going to have new pieces of equipment, new requirements, less requirements in the college game, and all that that you have to incorporate in your daily football life. And then getting acclimated to the locker room, how, where, and when to be there. You're never late for a meeting. You got to be, you know, early is on time there. But then after all that stuff being said and trying to learn who, you know, your new friends and new teammates, and then you have to get back to the football side of it. And once that bell rings and you walk into any meeting, especially if it's started by Coach Tressman, then carried out with Joe DeCamillis and the special teams, and then filtering through to your position meetings, every one of these guys are going to have a responsibility on special teams that have some pretty heavy-duty assignments and requirements that they probably haven't done in 4 or 5 years. And then with that being said, you go from that meeting of your requirements immediately to your position and side of the ball breakdown.
Well, I'm sorry, Tom.
Go ahead. Then you start getting all of that imagery put in your head in terms of what your responsibilities are there.
How difficult was it for you as an offensive lineman? Certainly it's different at every position in terms of skills that need to be developed. Maybe it's footwork in terms of pulling as an offensive lineman. Maybe it's a punch on a defensive tackle or a defensive end that you need to learn the techniques from better from that standpoint. The ability to apply it, jumping from college, say from when you came out of Notre Dame to the pro level, and how quickly were you able to catch up on all the new techniques and disciplines you're being taught, Tom?
Well, you know what? A lot of it is deception in your stance. If you're an offensive lineman, a lot of your core requirements come out of a 3-point stance and a 2-point stance. And if you have any noticeable imbalance in your stance, the defensive linemen are intelligent enough to figure out exactly what you're doing and where you're going. So the first clue is to be perfectly balanced in anything you're doing before the snap of the ball, to give no clue to 11 guys that are trying to read every little sign they can get in detail about what the play is going to be. And then when you try to get the minute specifics of being a balanced football player, now you have to know how to incorporate that. Whether it's a pass that you want to be balanced backing off the ball, it's a run play that you want to be extremely aggressive straight ahead and making sure you keep your head up and your hands inside, or else if you're pulling to your right or your left. And with all that being said, you have to be under balance. And then if the quarterback makes an audible in the line of scrimmage and it changes your responsibility, you can't shift your balance. You got to be able to move out of that stance thoroughly to get your job done without giving any signs to the defensive lineman. So there's so many subtle details of each position, and I'm just getting into the offensive line because the DBs are just as complex and the receivers and the running backs. It's just a matter of the minor details that you have to get better at, and then you have to start incorporating the difficulty of all the terminology that you're trying to learn, both from special teams or whatever position you play, offense or defense.
Now, with all that said, for the Bears fans that are out there listening tonight, you know, we hear so many cliches around, like, oh, are they buying in to the coach's message? Are they buying in to the program? Probably your rookie draft class, my rookie draft class, this Bears rookie draft class, when you look at them, Tom, I think players got to be willing to be coachable. You know, players got to want to get better and receive the constructive criticism that they're probably going to get in terms of teaching and coaching and mechanics and disciplines and techniques, all those type of things. How receptive do you have to be as a player in order to get better, to buy in to what the coaches are teaching you, Tom?
If you don't look at the example of Josh McCown alone from last year, of listening to Mark Trestman, to Aaron Cromer, to Matt Kavanaugh, to listening about his technical changes, his fundamental needs in order to be a better quarterback, he listened to everything they said. He incorporated in his game, and he played the best football of his life. Now, there's a double-digit veteran who's been learning his whole career. Can you imagine if you started on that same pace as the first day you got in the NFL? You understood what each one of these coaches were trying to detail out to you to get the best out of your play. And then if you take it and you put that in motion, how you're going to develop at such a rapid rate. And again, example of Josh in one season is an example for what these guys can do at any point in their career, as long as they're willing to do the efforts that you have to. Again, you talk about having all the academic side of it in your iPad. If you go home and you just set it down and you start playing video games, you're going to decrease your chances of making the team immeasurably. But if you're willing to go home, pick up the iPad, watch the stuff that you have on video, and then just look at the information and read the information, you're going to increase your chances. And that's always going to be a deciding factor in a lot of players' careers throughout time.
Spoken like a true pro, and in our next segment, we're going to break down a pro's pro. How about Brandon Marshall and his new 3-year contract extension with the Chicago Bears? And make sure you join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/club. So Tom and I will come back, dive into the new 3-year extension of Brandon Marshall. Stick with us on a Memorial Day edition of Bears All Access. Welcome back to Bears All Access. Jim Miller filling in for Zach Zaidman. My partner Tom Thayer and I have you for about 30 more minutes. Don't forget to ask Tom. That segment will be here as the program moves along. You can call in 312-644-6767. But so happy you can join us this evening. And Tom, I mentioned, how about Phil Embry? Does it again in terms of striking a deal with a big-time talent for the Bears. Been a very active offseason. Obviously started with the Tim Jennings, then Jay Cutler re-signs, well, even before the season ended, with Robbie Gould getting locked up in terms of a long-term contract. And now Brandon Marshall, I think the first time a contract has ever been signed on national TV on a talk show like The View. But Brandon Marshall gets a 3-year extension, $30 million. Already had the press conference earlier in the week, calling Mark Trestman best in the business. Coach is amazing, a man I look up to, a man I want to be one day. And he called Phil Emery in that trade with Miami a career-saving trade, because since Brandon Marshall has arrived on the Chicago Bears doorstep, he has been a model citizen, has championed great things in terms of the mental health community, and certainly the production on the field. Absolutely amazing, Tom. Look at these numbers just the past 2 years. He's averaged 109 receptions, over 1,400 yards the past couple seasons, 11.5 TDs per season. I mean, I can't think of another receiver who's been more productive than Brandon Marshall. Phil Emery struck it big, locking this receiver up for another 3 years.
Yeah, you talk about free agent signings. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the left guard, Matt Slauson, also earning an opportunity to get a deal here. And I'm just bragging about that because he is an old lineman. But, you know, the Brandon Marshall deal, I think it comes back to reinforce the credibility of the front office, because Phil Emery told, I saw Brandon said, Phil Emery told him last year that he would get a contract, but it was going to take time and it just wasn't the right time. And then to come back and revisit it and make sure they get that contract done, you imagine what clout that puts in the locker room, because now they said, look, Brandon, we are going to negotiate a deal with you, but not at this moment. We will get it done, and then to go forward and get the deal done. And I think everything that Brandon has ever reflected as a Chicago Bear has always been quality. Everybody knew about Brandon's reputation coming to the Chicago Bears, and you didn't know what to expect. But now standing out there at training camp every day and watching his work habits, standing out there and watch him either take young defensive backs or young receivers aside and try to get into their head in a really positive direction. To go out there and give the effort to Charles Tillman and Tim Jennings on a daily basis, and you see the results of their play. Brandon Marshall earned this. He wasn't gifted this contract because he came in with, and just had a lot of maintenance to go along with it. He did it on production. On the field, like you mentioned, his stats, which is a great portion of, just a reflection of hard work. But again, everything he does surrounding Brandon Marshall is as important as what he's been able to accomplish statistically on the field and game days.
And to me personally, I think you credit the player for looking at the bigger picture. Because certainly Brandon Marshall could have asked for more money. I mean, you look at Percy Harvin up there for the Seattle Seahawks. He's making $12.5 million a year. This averages out to about $10 million a year. Certainly Brandon Marshall's numbers are reflective that he's more productive than somebody like Percy Harvin. And really Brandon Marshall talked about it at his press conference. He said, it's not what it's about for me anymore. It's about winning a championship. It's about legacies. And I think he truly means that. And we talk about a maturity of a player. And I think Brandon Marshall feels pretty comfortable in his skin and has matured right in front of everybody's eyes as he's become a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, too, is I also think if you want to see direct results of effort both in the offseason and during the season, getting teammates together, making sure their offense is better and more understanding, what a great example that is to run in front of your rookies. Because when we just talked to Brock Vereen and the understanding of now looking at the talent across the field from you, and it is guys like Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, but when you look at the combination of the results of hard work and the rewards of the great effort you put into it, I think that's exactly what you want to put in front of young guys that you're bringing into the organizations. If you see the leaders of this team earning new contracts because of the effort they give in practice and the attitude they carry on to the practice field, that's what rookies need to see. They don't need to see a high-profile guy ranting and raving on and off the field just to be a distraction. They need to see a guy come on the field with his shoes tied and ready to have a good day of work.
Everybody always brings up the age. Brandon Marshall is only 30 years old. I think his best days could be ahead of him, because when you look at other receivers who have achieved over the age of 30, I certainly injury can always factor in, Tom, but Terrell Owens, I could go Marvin Harrison. I mean, you look at the guy down there.
Jerry Rice.
Houston, Jerry Rice. You look at Andre Johnson. These guys were putting up monster yards, 1,400-yard seasons. So I don't think age is a factor at all. What do you see in terms of Brandon Marshall?
I agree 100%. I think the whole approach to football nowadays is so different. When you go out there and Brandon's physical approach to the game, he knows how to protect his body and put himself in control to be able to understand the physical attachment to every time that he's gonna make a catch. And preparation and being prepared for the toll that it takes on your body, and like I mentioned, his ability to attract teammates in the off season and to bring them out on a football frame of mind. Yeah, it's fun and it's social and it's great to be with your teammates, but if you can incorporate work that is directly related to the success of your organization, that's as important role in the offseason as you can ask any veteran to take.
Yeah, and I think his contract, it marries up with Jay Cutler's, because it's a five-year deal for Jay Cutler, but really it could be a three-year opt-out. So it really marries up with Jay Cutler, and those the quarterback and receiver Brandon Marshall have really made sweet music. I also want to ask you about this, because it should give Bears fans really a good long-term outlook for the Chicago Bears in terms of all the contracts that are locked up here. As you mentioned, Matt Slauson and other players, Jay Cutler and Brandon. Now, there are only three players who were starters last season for the Bears who have contracts expiring at the end of the 2014 season. One would be Lance Briggs, two would be safety Chris Conte, and the third would be Stephen Paya. So in terms of the pecking order of Phil Emery, there's really, I don't want to say there's not a lot of work to do, but that is very rare that that happens to a football team in the NFL, Tom.
It sure is. And again, it's evidence of the players wanting to be here. I think throughout negotiations, there's a give and take process. And eventually both sides have to come to an agreement and say, this is the best decision for my player. And, you know, Lance is a Hall of Famer, man. The guy has earned the respect around the league, no doubt about it. The other two guys, they have something yet to prove, both in health and ability. And, so, you know, every one of these guys, whether you're in a long-term contract or not, you're fighting for your position, your job, every single practice you go out to. It's nice to have the security in the back of your mind, but you're still going to be judged on the effort and what is your addition to the team and the game day roster.
Well, you asked for it. You got it. Coming up next, Ask Tom. Legendary, epic, award-winning. All you got to do is call in and stump Tom, 312-644-6767. We'll be back with your phone calls right after this. Welcome back to Bears All Access. Jim Miller and Tom Thayer with you. And as I mentioned before the break, it is time for the Ask Tom segment. Gives you the opportunity to call in, ask anything about football, the Chicago Bears, because trust me, Tom Thayer, he's all down, my friends, because he – how many years have you been in football, Tom?
You're judge and jury. You're host and judge. I mean, you know, this should be the what Jim Miller says goes segment.
we'll see how it works out this one. But you're right. I will be the judge and jury in terms of the best question from the callers out there. You can call in 312-644-6767, and Tom will have all the answers for it. So let's go right out to the phone lines. Let's check in with Mike, who's calling us from Monroe, Wisconsin. Mike,
hey, Mike.
To see an enemy territory calling us, Mike.
yeah, but I grew up in the northwest suburbs, so I'm true blue and orange all the way. Thanks for taking my call. My question for Tom is, you know, we've been spoiled throughout decades, really, with special teams play. You know, with Devin Hester's returns and kickoff returns and Robbie Gould being automatic and even punt blocking and field goal blocking. I don't think we had many blocks on field goals last year, if any at all, but we've been spoiled with Julius Peppers and Alex Brown. But can Tom tell me when the last time the Bears actually blocked a field goal and returned it for a touchdown, the year, the team, the person who blocked it, and the guy that returned it for a touchdown?
Holy cow. Was it Mike Brown?
Mike Brown.
Excuse me?
It was not Mike Brown. In fact, you have to go all the way back to the Walter Payton era.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh. You know what? You, Mike, you're a better fan than I am from Mike from Monroe. Who was it?
It was in October of 1978. Errol Mann was the field goal kicker. Virgil Livers blocked it, and Mike Spivey returned it 71 yards for a touchdown.
Mike Spivey. Well, we're going to have our crack staff look into that, Mike, and we appreciate the phone call because we have to get clarification on that one. But right now, let's go out to Tom, who's calling in from the north side. Tom, thanks for joining us on Bears All Access.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Nope, Tom just dropped. Well, Tom, call back in, and we'll pop you right back up there. We'll talk about the special teams a little bit, Tom, in terms of Joe DeCamillis, year one to year two, maybe what the plan is in place, and certainly has a lot of young draft picks and rookie free agents that he has to infuse into the special teams, all four of them.
Yeah, I think he's got one of the most difficult but one of the most exciting jobs in football because you try to expose all this talent to what their craft really is in a major impact play that carries a lot of distance, has a lot of travel time, both in blocking and in ball flight. But, you know, then you got to take these guys that maybe, again, have an attitude coming out of college that, hey, I haven't been on special teams for a while, and you just got to allow them to know this is how they're going to make this team and the way they're going to have more – opportunities to impress the coaches earlier in preseason games than any other facet of the football game, because it's going to be the reps are going to be few and far between for him. So I do. I think Coach Joe DeCamillis has an exciting job, but a lot of responsibilities because of the difficulty of each of those assignments. And last week we had Robbie Gold on Bear All Access, and he talked about maybe the positioning changes of extra points and, you know, and even field goals. That will that bring blocking more into a concept if they move those extra points back quite a distance?
All you have to do is call in 312-644-6767. And, Tom, let's go out to Dave, who's calling us from Decatur. Dave, welcome to Bears All Access.
Hi, Dave. Thank you. Hi. I'd like to know if Tom knows how many Pro Bowls the awesome receiver Dick Gordon was in.
Oh, man, you know, you're getting questions out of the air. I will say no, I don't. You're stumping me here. This is a conversation about different aspects of football, not Stump Tom on Jim Miller's show. But no, I do not, Dave.
Okay, well, you didn't clarify the timeline on the question.
Oh, no. Dave, any question you got is a good question. I feel bad that I'm being stumped completely.
Yeah, obviously the Pro Bowls. And let us know, Dave, how many Pro Bowls was Dick Gordon in?
You know what? I don't know.
Well,
I'm thinking maybe one at the most.
Well, I'll look it up for you, and I'll find out. Let's go out to Knuckles, who's calling us from Racine. Rudd Knuckles, do you have a good football question, my friend?
I do have a good football question. I'm concerned about whether or not this contract or what effect this contract that Marshall got is going to have on him wanting the ball. The one rap I had on him was I got the sense that, you know, he needed the ball X amount of time, and that kind of gets in the way of Jeffries. It gets in the way of using the tight end more, which I'd really like to see the Bears do. So now that he's got the big contract, is he going to lighten up that way, or is he going to want to prove himself and need to get the ball more?
It's kind of weird to me, because the ultimate decision maker is going to be the way Mark Trestman and Aaron Cromer and Matt Kavanaugh call the play and how Jay sees it according to the position of the defensive personnel on the field. But I want a guy with the attitude like Brandon Marshall. I want a guy that wants the ball more than anybody else. He's not going to get it, but I want him to have that extreme desire to always want it, because that spills over to Alshon, and Martellus understands it a little bit more, his strength and his desire to want it. And it's a good reflection on a guy like Marquise Wilson. So I know Brandon earned this new contract, but I want a guy to go out there with the desires of a champion in order to be an impactful player on his offense.
Well, appreciate the call, Knuckles. And for Dave in Decatur, Dick Gordon was a two-time Pro Bowler. So
one thing about it, I didn't think Bears had great success of wide receivers in the Pro Bowl in the early part of the era here.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep open the Ask Tom segment. 312-644-6767. So on the other side, you can send more folk or send in your questions here and ask Tom. So make sure you stay tuned. More Bears Access right after this. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And, hey, you got to check out Inside the Bears tomorrow. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petruni, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Tomorrow's edition should be pretty phenomenal. Mike Ditka's former teammates and players share their favorite memories of the coach. So make sure you check that out. Well, let's go out and continue with the phone calls in our Ask Tom segment. Let's check out Mike, who's calling us from the north side. Mike, how you doing today?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Jim. Great show. How you doing, Tom?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Okay, my question is, back in 1938. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to ask you anything about that. I wanted to ask you, you know, they talk about the 4-3 and the 3-4 lineups, and a defensive lineman is better suited to one or the other. And I ask, really, what's the difference? I mean, if you're going to smash one of those big, dumb offensive linemen with a silver or yellow or purple helmet, it shouldn't matter for an interior lineman which lineup you're in.
Well, you know, I think if you look at two body types, if you look at William Perry versus Steve McMichael, William Perry could be in a 3-4 defense, and he could take out he could take on the entire interior, the offensive line, the center and guards, and be able to create a stalemate where he forces the offensive play to go in one specific direction. Steve McMichael has the ability to incorporate a lot of thought process before the start of play and then make a play that's, he's penetrating into the backfield and he's taking a guy completely out of it. He's recognizing the direction. So I just think it's versatility of defensive linemen and how much ground they can cover and how disruptive they can be. Sometimes you just have to be huge and stationary like a Ted Washington type of figure.
Well, Mike, that's a great question. And with that said, we'll wrap up the Ask Tom segment. So, Mike, from the north side, you win a gift certificate to the Sports Authority. And Tom, I mean, beautiful answer because, to me, you know, coverage is coverage. At least from I look at it from a quarterback perspective. It doesn't matter if it's a 4-3 or a 3-4. Coverage is coverage, whether it's cover 3, cover 2. But it's all about the box players. 4-3, there's still 7 in the box. 3-4, there's still 7 in the box. And depending on what you can do, you can drop down safeties to bring an 8 defender. But some would argue, hey, is a 3-4 better than a 4-3 because you have more athletic players, i.e. outside linebackers on the field rather than, say, big defensive ends?
Well, question for you as a quarterback, as you take the center quarterback exchange and you're retreating in a pass, is it easier for you to compute a 4 defensive linemen rushing at you or the versatility of a 3-4 where they can come from a lot of different angles and a lot of different sizes in the matchup?
That's a great question because a lot of times we would convert it to 4-3 rules, i.e. so what I'm saying is let's say you got a 3-4 defense. Who is their best pass rusher? Say if we're facing the New England Patriots back when they had Mike Vrabel or, say, somebody like Willie McGinnis, I would make one of those players a down lineman. So it changes. It makes it a 4-3.
Correct.
So that
it'd be the same example, I think, when Lawrence Taylor burst onto the scene. He was always considered a down-rushing defensive lineman no matter what position he came from. It always was a responsibility of the direction of the protection to go to a guy like Lawrence Taylor.
Well, well said and well explained right there, Tom. And thanks again for the last hour, Tom. I enjoyed it. I'm sure all the listeners out there enjoyed it. We'd like to thank you for joining us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, and we wish you, from all of us here, the Chicago Bears and the Bears Network, a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.